Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am live following the Timberwolves' loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder on Saturday night. The Locked On Wolves postcast starts right now.
You are Locked On Wolves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Marty Gellner is off tonight. Typically, she'll do the live postcast with me, but she is off this evening. So we're going to go ahead and dive right into Wolves Thunder. This was something. Of course, the Timberwolves did not have Karl Anthony Towns. We knew that going into it. Rudy Gobert was ejected in the first quarter of this game. And this was like a weird, I don't know, two undersized teams just kind of flying up and down the court for 48 minutes. Some really terrible officiating. We will talk a little bit about that, as much as I hate to do that on the podcast. But this thing was just really messy. I don't really know how else to say it. The difference in this game, like if we're going to oversimplify things, is that it was a sloppy game, back and forth, poorly officiated, schoolyard feel to it, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was the best player on the floor for either team. That's what it boils down to. He was phenomenal, 33 points in this game, 10 of 17 shooting, got to the line 12 times, made all 12 of his free throws. And the Wolves didn't really have an answer for him. Jaden McDaniels got into foul trouble early. That was really key. It was great to have him back after he missed the last week or so with an illness. But I mean, with McDaniels in foul trouble and the Wolves not having really any other answer for SGA, also, Kyle Anderson ended up playing a lot at center in this game because of Gobert's ejection, Towns' absence, Naz Reid got banged up for a little bit. And the Wolves just did not do enough defensively or on the glass against a severely undersized team. Outside of SGA, I think the story of the game is exactly that. It's that this Thunder team is completely undersized compared to the Timberwolves. And both games the Wolves beat OKC in earlier this year, they dominated points in the paint, they dominated rebounding. I think the Thunder came into this game 29th in the league in defensive rebounding percentage. I said on Friday's episode of Locked On Wolves that, hey, this is a team the Wolves should actually beat up on the glass, even without Karl Anthony Towns, because they're a bad rebounding team. They're undersized. Alexi Pokusevski's tall. He's not a big. They don't have any other true bigs on this roster that play regular minutes that are healthy. And so the Wolves should have dominated those categories. And they didn't. They did for stretches, the third quarter mostly, right? The Wolves had 17 fast break points in the third quarter alone in this game. But for the game, fast break points were essentially even. The Wolves were a plus five in fast break points, 26 to 21. But they scored 17 of their 26 fast break points in the third quarter alone, Minnesota did. Points in the paint, Minnesota was only a plus two. I know that Rudy Gobert only played 9 minutes and Karl Anthony Towns didn't play. But, I mean, Naz Reid is better than any true big that the Thunder have. He had 13 and 18 in this game, too. Four blocks Naz did in just 30 minutes. Interesting, the Wolves, by the way, this is maybe another conversation, but interesting they never put Nate Knight in the game, or Luka Garza, who's back with the team after playing really well in Iowa the other night, back up with the big club. But the Wolves just decided to play small and match the Thunder. And unfortunately, the Thunder just played small better than the Wolves played small in this game. And Minnesota scored plenty. They scored 128 points. Themselves, they shot 53% from the field. They actually had a better shooting percentage from the field than Oklahoma City. They shot it worse from three. Each team made 80% of their free throws. So this was an offense fest. And it's because the pace was so fast to this game and the Wolves just couldn't get it together defensively. But again, I think it really boils down to, yes, the Wolves barely won the points of the paint. Yes, they barely won the rebound battle. They were plus two in rebounds. They were a plus, what did I say? Plus 4 points in the paint, or plus 2 points in the paint, plus five fast break points, all categories they should win. And they won them, but barely. They should have beaten the Thunder handily in those categories, even shorthanded. And because they couldn't, it came down to essentially, like I said off the top, SGA was the best player on the floor and it wasn't particularly close. And that was the biggest reason why this thing ended the way that it did. Also, Kenrich Williams for the Thunder had a season high 15 points in this game and played extremely well off the bench, which might seem like it's a minor thing, but he was effective. He took a couple of charges in this game. He did all the sorts of things that the Timberwolves typically fail to do. And that was the case again in this game. And I mean, those things add up, right? those Kenrich Williams plays, those, you know, the technical fouls, we'll talk about those in a little bit. All those things add up, and it did not add up in the Timberwolves' favor in this one. All right. As mentioned, the stretches of paint dominance did happen for Minnesota in this game. At times, they looked really good in the paint and on the fast break, especially in the third quarter. But again, against a small, inexperienced team like the Thunder, that needed to be more consistent. And the defense, obviously, you give up 135 to the Thunder in this game. That obviously, you didn't play good defense, right? But this, to me, Anthony Edwards, I think we could underscore his defensive effort as extremely poor. There were multiple possessions you could go back and watch where Ant was just kind of standing around defensively, too. Again, he can lock in on the ball, but there were some possessions, especially in the fourth quarter, and it was weird. Like, after Rudy was ejected in the first half, Ant kind of got on his horse and did the thing where there was just, it was like he needed that boost to be like, okay, I got to take over. There's no Cat, there's no Rudy, I can do this. And in the second half, as he started to maybe not get some of the calls he thought he could get, we'll talk about the non-overturn charging call in just a little bit. But right after that, there were a couple of possessions where Ant just didn't rotate. And you could actually see D'Lo, of all people, busting it and looking at Ant and throwing his hands up like, hey, why aren't you getting out on the perimeter and contesting? D'Lo was like the guy who was scrambling to contest multiple shots on a possession, and Ant was just kind of hovering in the paint. That was actually one of those backbreaking possessions. Specifically, I'm thinking of where the Thunder had three cracks at it. They had two offensive rebounds, and it finished with a made three-pointer. And it was more than just that possession when Ant just completely underwhelmed defensively. And like I said, D'Lo, on the other hand, he had a really good first three quarters of this game. It was the fourth quarter that was bad for D'Angelo Russell. And I actually thought he competed defensively too. I mean, I think it was third quarter. He had consecutive possessions. He was diving on the floor for loose balls. He was aggressive in terms of pushing the pace offensively, which isn't always the case for D'Angelo Russell. So I thought this was a good D'Lo game, except for the fourth quarter. And that's when things kind of just devolved for the Wolves. They got frustrated about the officiating. Ant had those bad possessions. D'Lo mailed in some offensive possessions, threw the ball in the crowd a couple of times, and just some bad, you know, kind of cross-court passes. And that was kind of all she wrote at that point. It was like the Wolves just allowed the officiating to get in their head more than anything else. And at that point, that was basically it. I do want to touch on officiating a couple more things. First, though, let's talk about our title sponsors of today's show, and that's our friends at Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget. Across the US, the UK, Canada, and Australia, you can book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. You can find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from A to B. Test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on to see how it fits in your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and inclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. All right, let's talk briefly about the officiating. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, I don't talk much about officiating because I mean, like, we could complain about it every game, if I'm being honest, and it's not fun to just complain about officiating. Fans love to do it. It was a thing in this game. I don't know that it was like drastically a thing in favor of like the Thunder. The Wolves got called for, I think, six technicals in this game or five technicals in this game. I don't know how many D'Lo was actually ejected on. I don't think it was particularly lopsided other than the terrible Ant charge call. It was just bad all the way around. I think Goble, I'm blanking on his first, Jason Goble, called like most of the techs, and he called the bad charge call. My understanding is that it's Sakakis that decides whether to overturn that call or not. It wasn't overturned on the Ant charge call. The thing there, though, is that this game was 119 to 113. The Wolves had just been down nine. Jaden McDaniels had hit a three. They were within two possessions. Ant, if that's overturned to a blocking foul, then he gets two free throws, and it's probably a four-point game. Instead, it's not overturned. It's called a charging call. It becomes Thunderball in a six-point game. You get the technical on Ant, makes it a seven-point game. And then I think SGA scored a two-point basket right after that. So it's right back to a nine-point lead. So it's effectively, at that point, a four-point swing. Or no, that's bad math. Yeah, four-point swing. And no, five-point swing. I don't know. I talk about a four-point swing, whatever it was. It was a significant part in the game from a momentum perspective. Again, game-wide, like, yeah, the Thunder had a few more free throws. I don't think it was, like, lopsided. It was just bad. It was just too many technicals. There were, like, stretches where they let everything go and stretches where they were calling everything. There was the Scott Wall in the first half who was standing right next to whoever was inbounding on the Thunder, and he took, like, three steps on the inbound, and the Scott Wall standing right next to him and didn't call the violation, because you can't do that when you're inbounding the basketball. I mean, I think like the 8U basketball team that I coached today, like the refs in that game absolutely knew that that was the rule. The ref on the opposite side of the court, who was not Goble, the other ref, saw it and called it after the Timberwolves bench was screaming and called it. So like there were some of those things where it's like they just weren't in it. They weren't ready to referee on a Saturday night. That's kind of what it felt like. I don't think it's certainly not why the Wolves lost, because again, unless you want to make the case that, hey, in a 4-point game there, the Wolves had the momentum, they win at home on the ant call. That's really the only one. I mean, the Wolves lost because of the defense. They lost because of all the things I already listed. They lost because SGA is really good more than anything else. So that's what I have to say on the officiating. It was brutal, but it wasn't like, I'm not going to sit here and say it's why the Wolves lost at all. I think that's pretty much what I wanted to hit. I mean, we talked D'Lo. D'Lo, again, played well for three quarters. Ant, mostly the defense was bad. He had that really strong stretch after Rudy went out. It was just kind of like a really disappointing performance. Like, yeah, you're down your two best players. And SGA is really good, but you'd like to think on your home floor, a team that's got more depth than the Thunder. Like, the Thunder have some nice players, but the Timberwolves have so much more depth. And, you know, with a couple nights rest, like this, there's no excuse to losing this game. There's a handful of these. We could go back over the course of the first 23 games of the season and pull these out and say there's no reason Minnesota should have lost this game. And this falls into that category. And now they have 3 days to sit there and think about it, sit at home and think about it, practice and watch film at home and think about it before next Wednesday. They have 3 days, the rare 3-day break, non-All-Star game, 3-day break in season to think about this before they get back at it next Wednesday. So, I mean, like, obviously Rudy will be back. McDaniels and McLaughlin both played in this game, so you're really only missing Cat. There's going to be no excuse when the Wolves are back at it next Wednesday to not win. They play, I believe, the Pacers. Yeah, they host the Pacers next Wednesday. So certainly a winnable game. But now we're looking at 4 out of 5 losses for Minnesota, and they're back below 500. So disappointing all the way around. Of course, we'll be back on Monday for the daily show. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all next week, plus live postcast. Marnie will be back next Wednesday. We typically go live about 45 minutes after the final horn. Marnie and myself will break down the game. But again, Monday we'll have a show, and Tuesday we'll have a show to get you through till the next game on Wednesday. So be sure to follow and subscribe to Locked On Wolves wherever you listen or watch podcasts. Of course, this show currently is on Locked On Sports Minnesota. So subscribe to the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube page. You can also listen to this after the fact on any of the Locked On Wolves audio feeds. So be sure to follow wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. A big thank you for listening. A big thank you for watching, and we'll catch you next time.